Today's daf is daf Hey Omed Aleph, and we'll start with Debay Rabbi Yishmael. So let's see if we can find the place. This is where we got up to yesterday. It's approximately 10 lines down from the top of daf Hey Omed Aleph. And Debay Rabbi Yishmael Tana. So we have a brice of Rabbi Yishmael, and we're trying to figure out, how do we know for sure that when the Torah says, Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, that on the first day of the holiday of Pesach, you should destroy your chametz. How do we know that Bayom HaRishon is referring to your Dalet, and you have to destroy your chametz on the 14th of Nisan? Matzinu Arba Soshenikor Rishon. We have another pasuk in the Torah, in the context of the mitzvah of eating matzah, and the Torah uses that same exact phrase, Borishon. And there it refers clearly to the 14th of Nisan. Shenemar Borishon Barbos Hayom Lachodesh Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos. On the first, which is the 14th, that's when Ba'erev, that evening following the 14th, you eat matzah. So you see that the word Borishon means the 14th. And if it means the 14th in the context of the mitzvah of matzah, then ipso facto it means the 14th in the context of tashbisu, of destroying your chametz. And now Rav Nachman has another proof that the word Rishon means the 14th and not the 15th. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Rishon Demei Kara Mashma, that the word Rishon means the one that came before. So that Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu would mean the day before Yontif, the 14th. Where do I find in the Tanakh that the word Rishon refers to the day before? The Omar Krah, this is Eov's friend Eliphaz. Eliphaz Atimoni is giving Musar, he's giving Tochacha to Eov, because Eov is complaining, and the friends of Eov are trying to calm him down in his claim against God. So Eliphaz says to him, HaRishon Adam Tivoled, which means the following, that in this context, in Sefer Eov, the Pasuk tells us that there was a fellow by the name of Tsofer HaNamasi. He was a younger fellow, and he gave Musar and Tochacha to Eov. And Eov sort of rebuffed him because he said, you're a young fellow, I'm an older person, and do you think you're smarter than me? So then Eliphaz comes and says to him, what do you mean? You're rejecting the words of Tsofer and Amasi. After all, are you the oldest person that ever lived on this earth? HaRishon Adam Tivoled? Were you born before Adam HaRishon? A rhetorical question. In any event, we see clearly that the word Rishon means before. And here too, in Shivas Yomim, when it says, Shivas Yom Matzos Tochelu Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu, the Bayom HaRishon is referring to the day before. So you eat matzah for 7 days, and on the day before you destroy your chametz. The Gemara says, wait a minute, are you going to tell me that you can consistently maintain this principle, that whenever it says Rishon, it means the day before Elameata? Then I'll come to the conclusion, in the mitzvah Lulav, in Parshas Emor, where the Torah says, Tochogu eschag Hashem shivas yomim, ulekachtem lochem bayom HaRishon, preates Hadar. The Torah says, Barishon, on the first day, you take the Lulav. And we always assume that's the 15th of Tishrei. Now you're telling me, no, it's the day before, it should be on the 14th. It's Achinami, if we apply your logic consistently, then Rishon de Meikara Mashma, Rishon means the day before. Well, that means that you have a mitzvah of taking Dalid Minim on the 14th of Tishrei. We never heard such a thing. So Gemara rejects this kash. Why? Because Shani Hasam, there in the case of the mitzvah of Lulav, it's different. Tichsiv, the Torah says regarding to Lulav, in the very same pasuk, it says, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim. And shivas yomim is a phrase that sets a unit of time, and that unit of time is bound within the 7 days. So that's the shivas yomim. Is mashvi shri lachag afrishon rishon lachag. So we know that the 7th day is the 7th day of the holiday. The first day is the 1st day of the holiday. So Tefresh Shivas Yomim now contains the 7 days and doesn't allow you, with the word Rishon, to expand it to the day before the 7 days, because it's a self-contained unit. The Gemara asks, but Hokinami Ksiv, here too, in the mitzvah of Tashbisu, it says, Achba Yom Rishon Tashbisu Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. So we have in this very pasuk of Tashbisu Shivas Yomim, the same Shivas Yomim that we found with regard to the Dalet Minim, we find also with regard to the mitzvah of Matzah and the destruction of Chametz. So here too, the Shivas Yom should tell me it's a self-enclosed unit, and the Rishon is not indicating that it's the day before on Erev Yontif. So Gemara answers, no, in Kein Nichtov Kro Rishon. What I was building on is not the word Rishon, but the word HaRishon, the extra hay of the word HaRishon. HaRishon Lamali Shmamino Lichera Moron. The HaRishon is coming to tell you that HaRishon means the hay tells you to go back one day to the day before the Shivas Yom. Ihachi, once again, if you're going to be consistent, Hasam Nami, there in the Parsha of Lulav, it says HaRishon. The Pasuk says, L'kachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, which means the extra hay. Is Lamali, why do I need the extra hay? According to your logic, the extra hay is teaching me the day before, and I come to the absurd conclusion that I would have to take the Dalet Minim on the day before the Shivas Yom, meaning on Erev Sukkos. That's impossible. Su Hosom. And furthermore, I'm going to ask you another kasha. In the case of Chagas Sukkos, Dichsiv, the Torah says, again, Tochogu is Chag Hashem Shivas Yomim, Bayom HaRishon Shabbason, Ubayom HaShmini Shabbason. If again, you're going to apply the principle that Rishon, especially when there's an extra hay of HaRishon, it means the day before, and here the Pasuk is mandating an Iser Malacha, that you're not allowed to get involved in any of the categories of labor during this period of time, the 7 days of Sukkos and the 8th day of Shmini Atzeres, is Emar Rishon Demei Karamashma, that on the 14th of Tishrei, before the 7 days, HaRishon, that takes me back one day, I'm already enjoined from Malacha. Ridiculous. We never heard that on the 14th of Tishrei, you're not allowed to do Malacha. The Gemara again tries to reject these questions, but first the Gemara tries to shoot down the second objection. And the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, in Sukkos it's different. Why? The Yomakra, Bayom HaShmini Shabbason. On the 8th day, which is Shmini Atzeres, Shabbason, we abstain from Malacha. Ma Shmini, Shmini, Dechag, Af Rishon, Rishon, Dechag. Just like the Shmini, which generates an Issur Malacha, is Dafka the Shmini, so too, the Rishon is Dafka the Rishon. So the comparison here, in this Pasuk, between Bayom HaRishon Shabboson, and the end of the Pasuk, Bayom HaShmini Shabboson, tells me that just like Bayom HaShmini is Dafka on the day of Yontif, so too, Bayom HaRishon is Dafka on the day of Yontif. But otherwise, if not for that special Hekesh between the 7 days of Sukkos and the 8th day of Shmini Atzeres, I would have come to the conclusion that HaRishon would have told me that there's an Issur Malacha on Erev Sukkos. So the Gemara says, then HaRishon Lomoli, then why did the Torah confuse us, deliberately trip us up by adding the hay? For what purpose? We thought the hay was coming, as it does in Ach Bayom HaRishon, to teach me Tashbisu is on Erev Yontif. But in the case of Sukkos, and the Pasuk that generates an Issur Malacha, the hay of HaRishon, is not teaching me that I start my Issur Malacha on Erev Sukkos. So what's the hay all about? The hay you're telling me is coming to include the day before Rishon, and we cannot apply that principle here because we have the equation between Shivas Yom and Yom HaShmini, so why did the Torah add the word hay, the letter hay? So Gemara now turns it around the other way, that sometimes hay is a mute. It's not a ribui to include the day before. It's a mute to say only HaRishon. What is the exclusion? Lim'ute cholo shel moed. The HaRishon is telling you that only on the first day and on the last day there's an Issur Malacha, but not on the days in between. Well, actually, that logic would apply more to Pesach than it would to Sukkot. But in any event, to clarify that during the days in between, which we call Chol HaMoed, there's no Issur Malacha, the Torah added the Miud Hei. So the Gemara says, I don't need a mute to be matir malach on cholo shel moed. Cholo shel moed mi rishon shmini nafka. The pasuk says yom rishon shabboson, yom shmini shabboson. And what that means is that only on the first day and the eighth day is there an isur malacha, to the exclusion of all the days in between. So why do I need the hay to tell me that Chol HaMoed is mutar b'malacha? Gemara answers, itzur salka dait chamin, I would have thought, if not for the mute of hay. Ho'il d'kos rachmano u'bayom hashmini. There's an extra vav, u'bayom hashmini. That's called vav mosif al inyan rishon. Whenever the Torah adds an extra vav, we apply the principle called vav mosif al isur rishon. And that means that Uba Yom HaShmini is telling me, and also, in addition to the days that came before Yom HaShmini, which are prohibited in Malacha, so too the Yom HaShmini is prohibited in Malacha. Is therefore, I would come to the conclusion, that Filu B'chol Shel Moed. If the Vav of Uba Shmini is Mosif on the previous days, it means that not only are you Asur in Malacha on those previous days of B'chol Shel Moed, you're also Asur in Malacha on Yom HaShmini. Kamash Malon, therefore we had to add the word Hey. So it's very strange. Because as a result of the Vav Mosif Aliv Inyan Rishon, the Torah added a superfluous Vav, I would have come to the wrong conclusion, and the Torah had to add the Hey of Har Rishon to exclude that wrong conclusion. That's very strange. Says the Gemara, Lo Lichtav Rachmana Lo Vav Lo Hey. Why did the Torah just omit the Vav that misleads me and the Hey that sets the record straight, leave out both letters? And I would have assumed that Chol Shel Moed, insofar as it's not neither Yom HaRishon nor Yom HaShmini, is Asur B'Malacha V'Su. And furthermore, I'm very confused. Hasam, over there in the parasha of Pesach, Dichsiv B'Yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh Yelochem, and now you're telling me that the word Rishon means the day before, is Rishon D'Mei Kora Mashma. It means that already on Erev Pesach there should be an Isur Malach on Yudalid. We don't know that there is such a thing. So the Gemara answers that we have to defend Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak in a different way. And right now the Gemara is going to assume that Har Rishon, when it means the day before, and when it says Bayom Har Rishon Tashbiso, it means Yudalid. That's true in the Parsha of Shvisas Chametz, which is in Parshas Bo in Sefer Shmos. But with regard to the Rishon that appears not once, not twice, but thrice in Parshas Emor, and once with regard to Lulav and Talmidim, once with regard to the days of Pesach, and once with regard to days, so this is a different limud whatsoever. Hani Shlosha Rishon. We have Rishon in the case of Lulav, Rishon in the case of the Isur Shvus, the Isur Malach on Sukkos, and we have Rishon in the case of the Isur Malach on Pesach. And all three of these are written in Parshas Emor. And the Torah says over and over again, Rishon, Miboyle, this is for a philosophical idea. L'kidetani debei Rabbi Chiya, debei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, b'schar shlosha. If we observe these three rishons, that means we enjoin, we abstain from malacha during Sukkot and during Pesach, and we take the dalad minim, then we will get rewarded in three different ways. And these three rewards are called the Rishon rewards. And what are they? L'shlosha Rishon for another three Rishon. So we're setting up like a matching. We have three Rishons in Parshas Emor, and we have three Rishons throughout the Torah referring to the end of days. And the first Rishon is L'hachris Zaro Shel Esav. This is an allusion to the destruction of Amalek. The second Rishon is L'binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the third is L'shmo Shel Mashiach. Where do we see three Rishons in these three ultimate phases of redemption? Number one, L'hachris Zaro Shel Esav, that's called Rishon Dechsiv, V'yetzei HaRishon Admoni Kulo Kader Seir. the great-great-grandfather, the ancestor of Amalek, who is Esav, is called HaRishon. And Ubinyan, based on Migdash, that's also called Rishon, Dichsiv, because the Torah says in Yirmiyah, Navi says, Kisei Kavod Marom Me Rishon Mekom Mikdashenu. So we see that Rishon is written in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, Ulishmo Shel Mashiach, Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Rishon Litzion Hinei Hinom, and that's a reference to Yerushalayim and the Mavaser, and the Mavaser of Tzion B'Yerushalayim is going to be the Melech HaMashiach. Now here the Zemar Shah and the Marsha wants to show how we match up these three, connected these three, and he says the following, that with regard to Sukkos, Sukkos is Zechel Anani HaKavod, and the Anani HaKavod refer to the Shekhinah, and that's the Beis HaMikdash, where the Shekhinah resides. And he says that the greatest Simcha that we'll experience is the Simcha when Mashiach comes, and that's indicated by the Dalet Minim, about which the Torah says, U'smachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, referring to the Simcha of the Dalet Minim. And the Pesach, which is Keneged Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the destruction of our enemies, that parallels Hachrosas Zera Shalesa. So what the Gemara has now accomplished is that all those Rishons in Parshas Emor, which really upset us because we didn't understand how it would imply an Issa Melacha or a Mitzvah of Dalet Minim on the day before, because Rishon means Meikar the day before. No. Those Rishons we need to teach us and reveal to us the Schar, the reward for observing those three Mitzvahs and prohibitions. But in the Parshin Bo of Ach Bayom HaRishon, there, Rishon is not included in this large, massive schar reward that we're going to get, and therefore the word Rishon there means the day before. Rava Amar Mihacha, I have a totally different source from which we're going to derive the conclusion that the time for Bir Chametz is on the 14th of Nisan. And Dafka Chatzos, because he's now going to introduce a whole new pasuk, where the Ach is missing. The Ach was the one that split the day into two parts. But in any event, Lo Sishchat al Chametz Dam Zivchi. The Torah tells us much later in Shmos, in Parshas Ki Tisa, that we don't shech the Korban Pesach when Chametz is around. Lo Sishchat al Pesach Vadayin Chametz Kayon. And here we have a gigantic machlokes, which the Gemara is going to pick up later on in Pesachim. What happens if you have a chabura? One of the members of the chabura is possessing chametz at the time of Shechitas HaPesach. Are all the members of the chabura equally responsible for that? Major sugyas later on. But in any event, we see that you're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach and have chametz in your possession. Well, when do we shech the Korban Pesach? That's on the 14th, midday. So Gemara says, V'yema kol chad v'chad ki shochet. Maybe the Torah is prohibiting chametz for each individual when he shechs the Korban Pesach. Reuven shechted it at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on the 14th. He's got chametz, he violates his Isser. And Levi shechted his Korban Pesach a few hours later on the afternoon of the 14th, and he has chametz. How do we know that the Torah is setting up an absolute time for destroying your chametz that's appropriate and applicable for everybody? And the answer is, Man Shechita Amar Achmana. When the Torah says that you shouldn't have chametz, get rid of your chametz, it's not differentiating between Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. When did Reuven shech the Korban Pesach? When did Shimon? But rather, it's halacha in the Korban Pesach itself. When is the Korban Pesach brought? Doesn't mean when you bring it or he brings it, but when, as far as the Korban Pesach itself, is the Zman HaPesach, and the Zman Shechita is midday on the 14th. At that moment, the Torah says, get rid of your chametz, no matter when you're going to shech the Korban Pesach. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Gemara quotes a braisa to support Rava, And the Braisa says, Ach, by Yom HaRishon Tashbis Yisor Me'otechem, we destroy Achametz on Yom HaRishon Me'erev Yontif. That's on the 14th. O Eina Ela B'Yontif Atzmo. Maybe you'll argue that the Torah is only commanding me to get rid of the Chametz on Yontif itself. And Ach by Yom HaRishon is referring to the first day of Yontif. Talmud Lo Lo Sishcha Al Chametz Dam Zivchi Lo Sishcha Es HaPesach V'Adayin Chametz Kaim Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, do not shech the Korban Pesach when this chametz in your possession. And that's referring to Zman Shechita. And Zman Shechita is midday on the 14th of Nisan. Rabbi Akiva Omer Einu Tzorich. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need all your drushes here with Bayom HaRishon and HaRishon and Meikara Mashma and Rav's drusha from Lo Sishchad Asa Chometz Al Dam Zivchi. I have a simple, straightforward answer to this question. How do we know that you have to destroy your chametz on Erev Pesach? And that when it says, Ach b'yom HaRishon, it certainly doesn't mean the first day of Yontif. Sharehu Omer, it says on the one hand, Ach b'yom HaRishon Tashbis Sor Me'atechem, which implies that on the first day of Yontif you have to get rid of your chametz. Uksiv. And yet the Torah says, and I'll read the whole pasuk to you, it says, "Bayom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, Yom HaShivim Mikra Kodesh Elohim Kol Malach Lo Sasu." That on the first day of Yontif, the Torah says you're enjoined from doing Malacha. And Matzinu Lavar Shi'av Malacha. When you burn your chametz, you are violating one of the 39 categories of Malacha. Again, there aren't 39 categories of malach with regard to Yontif, because the Torah allows you to do Ochel Nefesh, but destroying your chametz is not Ochel Nefesh, and therefore it's prohibited under the malacha. So we have no choice. There's no way under the moon that we can interpret this pasuk as referring to destroying your chametz on the first day of Yontif, because then you'd be violating Yontif. And the Gemara is going to analyze Rabbi Akiva from three different dimensions on Daf Hey Amid Beis. Well, let's first finish Daf Hey Amid Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nitzarech. Rabbi Yossi has a different proof that the destruction of the Chametz is on the 14th of Nisan. Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says, Ach b'yom HaRishon Tashbis Sor Me'atechem, Me'erev Yontif V'eino El B'yontif itself. Talmud Lomar Ach. Ach Cholak. The word Ach, as a miyud, comes to divide the day into two parts. The Ibiyontif Atzmo, and if you're telling me that it means midday on the 15th of Nisan, Mishari, how is it possible that you have chametz in your possession for half the day of the 15th of Nisan? That's impossible. Ha Iskish, we go back to the Hekish that we studied yesterday. Hashbos Asiyar Lachilas Chametz. The Torah says, Bal Yimotzi, and I'll have chametz in your possession, and the Torah equates that with Achilas Chametz. And the prohibition of achilas chametz and the prohibition of possessing chametz are equal. And achilas chametz, we have a hekesh between achilas chametz and achilas matzah. And achilas matzah is on the night of the 15th. And on that same night, you have an isur of achilas chametz. And ipso facto, you have a mitzvah and an isur to possess the chametz. You got to get rid of the chametz. So it's not possible that when the Torah says ach to divide the day, it's referring to the 15th of Nisan. Now we go back to Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rava, and here we turn to Daf Hey Amid Beis. Shmami Nami de Rabbi Akiva Tlas. We have to derive three conclusions from the statement and the derivation of Rabbi Akiva. Number one, Shmami No Ein Bir Chametz El Asreifa. Rabbi Akiva lays down the premise that the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu and destroy your chametz is dafka by burning it. Hence, it can't be on the first day of Yontif because you're not allowed to burn a fire on Yontif. If, on the other hand, we would hold not like Rabbi Akiva, that's the Shita of the Chachamim, later on in the second parak, they hold that Tashbisu means get rid of it in any way feasible. Zore mafar l'ruach, you can crumble it and throw it up to the sky. You don't have to burn it. Our admitting of burning the Chametz is a reflection of this Shita of Rabbi Akiva, but the Chacham never required you to burn it. And by the way, when Pesach is on a Motzei Shabbos and Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we don't destroy the chametz by burning it. We flush it down the toilet because we pass like the Chacham. But in any event, Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Bir Chametz El Asreifa. Shmami number two, Havara l'chalik yotzas, which means that when the Torah says, b'chomosh hoseichem, lo saviru eish b'chomosh hoseichem, b'yom ha-shabos, and Chazal had two answers to the following question. Why did the Torah have to single out with a separate law that you shouldn't burn your chum, you shouldn't burn a fire on Shabbos? After all, burning should be included in one of the Lamites Melachos. So there's one Mandiyomu who says that Havara l'lav yotzus. The Torah took Havara out of the bag. It's not one of the 39 Melachos. And if you burn a fire on Shabbos, you violate a law. It's not a malach. Now, the implication is that if it's not a malacha on Shabbos, then it's not osur on Yontif. On Shabbos, the Torah has a lav of lo, sevaro, eish, b'chom, oshlech, b'yom, ha-Shabbos. But on Yontif, not. The equation between Shabbos and Yontif is only malachas, and not separate isurim, and havar, if you hold, l'lav yotz is a separate isur, and it doesn't teach me anything about Yontif. But Rabbi Akiva took the opposite position. That's called Havara l'chalik yotzus. Chalik yotzus means it's coming to reveal something about all the malachos, that if you violate two malachos on Shabbos, Beheli Machas, with one forgetfulness, then you only bring one chatas. But if you do two different malachos, so again, if you repeat the same malacha twice, then you only bring one chatos, but l'chalik yotzis means that every single malacha is like an iser unto itself. If you violate two different malachos, you were kotzer and zorea by helimachas, forgetting it was Shabbos, you have to bring two chatos. But as far as the categorization of havara as a malacha, havara is a malacha. And therefore, since the only way I could be mekayim the mitzvah tashbisu koin Rabbi Akiva is through sreifa, and since sreifa is a malacha, therefore, it cannot be that the Torah is commanding me to destroy the chametz by sreifa on Yontif itself. That would be a violation of Meleches Yontif. Shmami no, we have to add a third premise that Rabbi Akiva is based on. Lo amrinon hol v'hucha avara l'tzorech, hucha nami shelo l'tzorech. This is a sugya of Masechta Beitza called the famous sugya of Mitoch, otherwise known as the sugya of Hoil. And according to the Chachamim, and Beis Hillel, we have a principle called Mitoch. Mitoch tells me that if the Torah allows a malacha for the purpose of a chol nefesh, then we're allowed to involve ourselves in that malacha, even shelo l'tzorech chol nefesh. And what that means in the case of Havara, that if I light a fire under a pot and I'm cooking on the pot, that for sure is mutar on yontif, because the Torah says chol nefesh ta'asalachem. It's a meleches al chol nefesh. If I apply the principle of mitoch, then even a havara which is not for food purposes would be mutter. So, for example, hotzah and yontif, right? If I take something from Rosh Hashanah Ramim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, if I'm taking food, that's a meleches al chol nefesh. Achash ha-yochol nefesh u'levadi yosalechem, that's for sure mutter. But what happens if I'm carrying my raincoat? That's not ochel nefesh, so we apply the principle of mitoch. Beit Shammai reject the principle of mitoch, and now the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Akiva is on board with Beit Shammai, and he rejects the principle of mitoch. And therefore, Havara will only be mutar on yontif if you turn on the fire under a pot to cook its contents. But if you're turning on a fire to destroy chametz, that's not ochel nefesh. So again, when we put A, B, and C all together, all these premises, Rabbi Akiva asks the question, how can you interpret Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu literally as referring to the 14th of Nisan, as referring to the 15th of Nisan? Then you're going to be violating Meleches Havara, because Havara L'chalik Yotzes, Ein B'yom Chametz El'Sreifa, and Lo Amrina Mitoch. Therefore, hence, we must conclude, says Rabbi Akiva, that by Yom HaRishon is referring to the 14th of Nisan, not to the 15th of Nisan. Okay, now we can make a siyum, so to speak, on this sugya of how do you derive that by Yom HaRishon is a reference to the 14th and not to the 15th. Now, here on Daf Hey Amid Beis, the Gemara now begins a whole new sugya. And this sugya is going to occupy our minds for a good deal of time. And what we're trying to figure out is why the Torah had to give us two prohibitions that enjoin the ownership possession of chametz. One is called Lo Yimotze, and one is called Bal Yiroa. And does each lav teach us a new chiddush to define and expand the scope of the prohibition against owning chametz? So we're now on Daf Hei Amud Beis, five lines down from the top. Tanu Rabbanan. We learned the following in a braisa. One pasuk says, Shivas yomim si'or lo yimotze bivatecha. And the Gemara in this braisa is going to ask, why do I need this pasuk? That for 7 days chametz should not be found in my house, in our homes. Ma tamen lomar halok var nema. We already have a pasuk. Lo yirolecha chametz. V'lo yirolecha si'or b'chol gvulecha. Look at this pasuk. The pasuk says, you're not allowed to see chametz or si'or anywhere within your bounds, which expands the area of the location even beyond the confines of your house. So if it says b'chol gvulecha in the pasuk of Bal Yiroah, why do I need b'batechem? Batechem is included under Lo Yiroah because it says b'chol gvulecha. So the Gemara answers, Lefisha Nemar v'lo yiroa l'cha si'or, which means you're not allowed to see the chametz with your eyes. I would think that there are two conditions that the Torah is setting up here in order to violate this isur, this prohibition of possessing chametz. Number one, it has to be chametz that you could see with your eye. And number two, it's got to be lecha, you have to own the chametz. If you don't own the chametz, then you don't violate the Isur. And therefore, we would have understood, again, if we only had the second pasuk, lo yiroa lecha chametz, b'chol gvulecha, shalcha yataroa, you're not allowed to see your own chametz, aval ataroa, shalachere v'shal gavoa. Let's say this chametz that belongs to a guy, and it's in your possession. Well, that's not lecha. Now notice in the pasuk lo yimotze, it doesn't say the word lecha. Then we have shel gavol. Let's say you have chametz shel hegdesh. I announced and pronounced that my chametz should belong to hegdesh. It's no longer mine. It's not shelcha. Furthermore, yachal, I might come to the conclusion, if I only had the pasuk of lo yira lecha, I would say yatmin, I can hide the chametz, and now I don't see it. And the Torah says Lo Yiroa, so I didn't violate Lo Yiroa. And furthermore, V'yekabel pikdonos min anochri. Let's say the guy wants to deposit his chametz on my table, and I would take responsibility for his chametz. I'm like a shomer on his chametz. Why not? Is Talmud Lomar, now we need the pasuk Lo Yimotze. Lo Yimotze means it shouldn't be found in Yerushas at all. Even if you don't see it, even if it's not yours, even if it's a pikadon that the Nachri deposited in your possession. Now, the next part of the Braisa is what's called Mishubeshta. What I mean is that there's a mistake in the Braisa. The Gemara is going to later on correct that mistake. But for the time being, let's just interpret the braisa literally. Ainli Ella, I would think that when the Torah says lo yimotze to include even the chametz of a guy, that only applies b'nachri shelo kibashto. Ultimately, the Gemara is going to change this to a nachri shekibashto. Kibashto means that he's under your control. There are times during Jewish history where the Jews were reigning supreme, they had sovereignty, and they controlled the goyim. So let's say you have a goy, and he's your servant, and he works in your house, he's called kibashto. Kibashto means he's like conquered by you. V'ein shorui imach b'chotzer. Again, the Gemara is going to change this to refer to shorui imach b'chotzer. He's living in your house. He has a domicile. He has a residence somewhere on your premises. So number one, he's under your control. And number two, he's living on your premises. And therefore, if he owns chametz, it's almost as if you own the chametz because you have it in your possession. It's in your area, in your bounds. And number two, he's anything he owns, you own because he's completely subjugated to your tutelage. But Nachri, again, in the final Gemara, it's going to be Shaloki Bashto, V'eno Shori Imo B'chotzer. You have a Nachri who's living on his own and he's a free man. You have no control over him. How do I know that that's also included in Bal Yimotze? If he brings his chametz into your house, Talmud Lomar Lo Yimotze B'batecha. So again, as I've already given the cat out of the bag, but everything that I say is going to be based on the Gemara's explanation later on. Now the Braisa says, okay, so from Lo Yimotze B'batechem, we expanded it to include Bal Yatmin and Bal Yikabel Pikdonos Min HaNachri, but Eli Ella Shebibatechem, when the Torah says Lo Yimotze, it says Bibatechem. But what about the outside area that surrounds your house? But it's yours, it's private property. For example, Biboros Besichin Umaoros. I have cisterns, I have subterranean caves, I have all sorts of different areas that are outside of my house and they're not included technically under Batechem, and I want to put chametz there. Very simple. Why should I get rid of my chametz and destroy it? Why don't I just put my chametz out in a bar, you know, hide it downstairs in a bar? And the Torah says Batechem. So again, if you hide it in your house, that's Bal Yatmin, but it's still Batechem. But if I put it outside my house, again, it's still in my possession, and after Pesach, I'm going to bring in that bottle of scotch into my house. Minayin, how do I know that's also included in the Isur? Talmud Lomar, because now we jump to the other pasuk of Lo Yirah Lecha, because there it says, B'chol Gvulecha, including all your bounds. The Braisa says, Adayin Ani Omer, now I can still be a little bit confused and apply the Iser of Bal Yimotze when the Iser Bal Yimotze should apply based on that pasuk, and the Iser Bal Yirah when the Iser Bal Yirah is going to apply, but I don't know if I can overlap both Lavim and equate them. Adayin Ani Omer, I could still argue. Bibatim, where the Torah says, Lo Yimotze Bibatechem, Over Mishum Bal Yirah U Bal Yimotze. So when the Torah says Lo Yimotze, it's telling you that certainly if you could see the chametz, then you would violate Bal Yirah. The Torah is saying even if you can't see the chametz, you violate Bal Yimotze. And Bal Yatmin, even though there's no Bal Yirah, there's still Bal Yimotze. And Bal Yikabel Pikdonos Min HaNachri, even though it's not Shalcha, but the Torah says Lo Yimotze, it leaves out the word Lacha. But all this applies only in Batim, because all these derivations, expanding the scope of the Isur, based on the Pasuk Lo Yimotze, are limited to Batechem, because the Pasuk Lo Yimotze, which expands the scope, to include all these cases like Bal Yatmin and Bal Yikabel Pikdonos Min HaNachri, those are limited to Batechem. Big Vulin. But when it comes to Boros, Sichin, and Maoros, those areas outside your house, there we go to the Pasuk, Lo Yirav, where it says Lecha, Yishal Chaya Torah Val Torah Shal Achem Shal Gavoa. So it means that if the guy deposits his chametz in my possession, I take responsibility for his chametz, but I put the chametz outside the four walls of my house, and I put it in Boros Sichin Ma'orim, Ma'oros, then I would not violate this Isur because we Monafshach. B'toras lo yimotze, I don't violate this Iser because it's not in my bias. Elo what? Lo yirah b'chol gvulecha, which includes even outside of it. That's only lo yirah when I can see it, but now I've hidden it. Or it's not lecha. So those conditions were not met. So I have a great solution to these cases. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take my chametz. I'm not going to hide it inside my house because that's a violation of lo yimotze. I'll hide it outside my house in my gvul, in Boros Sichin Ma'oros, and there's no yirah. So I'm clear. Or Vayakmin Pikdona Shal Nochri. Okay, the Torah says Lo Yimotze to include even when it's not Shalcha, but Lo Yira doesn't include that when it's not Shalcha, because Lo Yira says Lecha. So I'm going to take these Pikdona Shal Nochri and I'm going to take them outside of my house, put them in Gvulin, and that's fine because Mimonav Shach, I don't violate the Isur. Is Minayin Litenes Ha'amur Shal Zeh Bishal Zeh. How do we know that we can take these two psukim of Lo Yimotze and Lo Yira and collapse them together and make them into one unified entity? So whatever halachas I derive from this pasuk and the violation thereof applies in this case and vice versa. Talmud Lomar, we have Gzeirah Shavah. And that's called Sior, Gzeirah Shavah, Nemar Sior Bibatim. Because the Torah says, Sior, Sior, Lo Yimotze Batechem. That's as far as Bat. V'nemar, Sior, B'gvulin. It says, Lo Yira Lecha, Sior, B'chol Gvulecha. So we have one key word, a code word, that appears in both Bal Yimotze and Bal Yira, that gives me Gzeirah Shavah. And now I can put all the cases together under a double lav. And in all those scenarios, I violate both lav. How so? Masior homer bibatim over mishum bal yiroi u bal yimotze u bal yakmin u bal yakmin kabel pikdonis min anokri. Just like in the case of Sior, where it says lo yimotze, it includes anything that can be found even if I can't see it. And even if it's not mine, but I took it from anokri and I'm responsible for his chametz. And now we're going to say that applies in both Bal Yira and Bal Yimotze. Is Afsar Yom B'Gvulin? Ah, you wanted to take your chametz now, which is not yours, it belongs to the guy, or your chametz and hide it outside your house. And once it's outside your house, you don't violate Lo Yimotze, but you have Lo Yira B'Chol Gvulecha. Is Afsar Yom B'Gvulin over Mishum Bal Yira Bal Yimotze Bal Yatim Bal Yakab Doros Min Anochri? It means that now the Torah is telling me that the Gvulin Isur, which appears in the Pasuk Lo Yira, is going to include the Siar of the Gzeirah Shavah of Bal Yimotze, Uma Siar, Ha'omer B'Gvulin, which we said was Shalchoy HaTorah, Aval HaTorah, Shalachim, Shalgavoah, Af Siar HaMeh B'Batim, Shalchoy HaTorah, Aval HaTorah, Shalachim, Shalgavoah. So basically what we're doing is we're collapsing these two Lavim into one, and that we derive from the Gzeirah Shavah of Sior, Sior. And now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Braisa and corrects the Shibush, the mistake that's in the Braisa. Omar Mar, the Braisa said before that Ein li ela b'nochri shelo kibashto. I only know that you violate chametz if the chametz is owned by a guy who is not under your control. V'eino shori imach b'chotz, he's not living in your chotz, in your courtyard. Nochri shekibashta v'shori imach b'chotz minayin. How do we know if I have control over him and he's living in my chotz? I violate bal yiro bal yimotze because he, the guy, has chametz. Hamalom lo yimotze. Says the Gemara, Klapa Eliya. Just the opposite. The Sfar tells me the opposite. If you want to include in the Isur Bal Yimotze one of these two scenarios, it should dafka be a Nochri Shekibashto Vishari Imcha V'chotzer. Om Rabbi Epuch. So Rabbi says we have to change the gears to the Baisa, inside out and upside down. We should read it, Ein li ela Nochri Shekibashto Vishari Imcha V'chotzer. When it says that you violate Lo Yimotze, that's because this guy is under your control and he's living under your nose. But Nochri Shaloki Bashto V'Ein Shor Yimot B'Chotze Minayin Tamalomar. And for this we need a special ribui of Lo Yimotze. Rav Amar Liolam Lo Tepo. Rav says we don't have to change the gears in the Brisa, so we can find a certain logical integrity to the Brisa as is. How so? V'Areshakoi. This categorization, this description of Nochri of kibashto v'shoyim chabachotze, that's referring back to the Reish. What does it say in the Reish of this brisa? It says there, shalchaya torah v'latorah shalachem shalgavoa, that you're allowed to see the chametz of acherim. In this case, it means a nachri or hegdesh. Is ainly ella. I might think that when does the Torah allow you to keep the chametz of a goy in your possession? Because it's not shalcha. It's shalachirim. That's only ella ben nachri shaloki bashto vein shorim chabachotzer. If the nachri is a free agent and he lives outside of the bounds of your house. But nachri shekibashto v'shoy imcha minayin, how do you know to exclude violating the iser of owning chametz in a case where the guy is under your control and he lives in your within your bounds? Talmud lomar lo yimotze. Now this is very strange. What do you mean Talmud lomar lo yimotze? Hai tanami hadra teru v'nosiv kroli sura. And according to Rava's explanation, the Tana here is looking for a source to be matir chametz, even in the case of nachri shekibashto. Ainly el, I only know that shalchaya torah v'alatorah shalachirim in the case of nachri shalo kibashto. How do I know that atorah shalachirim, you're allowed to see the chametz of a guy, even in the case of a nachri shekibashto? And now you're quoting lo yimotze. Lo yimotze is an iser, it's a chumra. And you want to derive a kula. And the Gemara answers, Mishum shenemar, because in the pasuk that prohibits lo yiroa, it says lo yiroa lecha, and not only does it say it once, but it says it twice, because it says lo yiroa lecha chametz, lo yiroa lecha siyor. Twice it says lecha. Lecha, lecha, trei zimni. We have a double mute, meaning that the Torah says you violate this Isra only if it's lecha, if it's yours, as opposed to something that's owned by a guy. And the Torah repeats itself twice. Once it appears in Parshas Bo, it says, lo yiroa lecha chametz, lo yiroa lecha sor b'chol gvulecha. And if we fast forward in Parshas Re'eh, it says, lo yiroa lecha sior b'chol gvulecha shivas yomim. Now, there's something strange over here. Since we have the lecha in Parshas Bo in lo yiroa lecha, and then we have, and that's quite clear. Now we have another lecha in Parshas Re'eh b'chol gvulecha. So we have what's called an imeino inyan. Imeino inyan means if I don't need it in its context, then I place it into a different context. We lift it with a crane and we place it elsewhere. So since the word lecha is extra, we're going to have to put it together with the original lecha of lo yirah, and it's going to exclude two kinds of chametz that don't belong to you. One is the chametz that belongs to a guy who's under your... let me say it the other way around, so we get from the lesser chidish to the greater chidish. Lozu afsu. So one lecha is going to tell me that you don't violate Bal Yirah if the chametz is owned by a guy who's outside of your boundaries and he's not under your control. Now the Torah adds another lecha to tell you that even if it's almost yours, the chametz, meaning the nachri is kibashto and shorim of a chotzer, even then it's not lecha and you don't violate the isur. Amar Mar, yet let's go back to the Braisa. The Braisa says, Yachal yatmin v'ikav pikdonis min ha-nachrim tam lov lo yimotzei. I might think that I could take my chametz and hide it so that it's not visible and I don't violate lo yirah. Or, alternatively, I might think that I could have the chametz of a nochri deposited in my possession and take upon myself achrayas responsibility. And all this would be incorporated in the pasuk. All these conclusions would be derived from the pasuk lo yirah lecha. So there's no lo yirah in bal yatmin, and there's no lecha in pikdonos shel nochri. Talmud lomar lo yimotze, that you violate lo yimotze even if you can't see the chametz, and even if the chametz belongs to a guy, but it's hufkad etzlecha. In other words, he deposited it in your possession, you're locking it up, and you're watching it on his behalf. So Gemara asks the following kash on the Braisa. Ha amit reisha, the reisha of the Braisa says, shalcha I atoroa, aval atoroa shal achem shal gavoa. It says that from the word lecha, we exclude chametz that belongs to acherim, meaning to a goy, and I don't violate any isur by keeping the chametz of a goy in my possession. And now you're telling me that lo yimatzei includes even pikdonos shel nachri. And who's the registered owner of this chametz? It's a goy. My high, there's a head-on collision here in the brayse itself. Lo kasha, the Gemara says, ha dekibel echrayis. If the guy says to me, Mr. So-and-so, you know what, I'm going to just leave my chametz deposited somewhere in your possession. That's okay. Then you don't violate by your own, by your motzi, because the Torah says, L'cha, av l'torah shalachir. But if the Nachri says, not just allow me, give me the green light and permission to put my chametz somewhere in your bounds, but I want you to watch my chametz. I want you to accept achrayas on my chametz. And if it gets lost, you'll pay for it. Then the Braisa says that yochel yatmin v'yikabel pikdonos minoch tamloli motze, that you're not allowed to accept pikdonos minanochi. Why? Because you accepted achrayas and responsibility for the chametz. And where do we find an actual case where the Jews took responsibility for the chametz of the goyim? That happened in Mechoza, a city of Mechoza that was Rava's hometown. Ki had yama lehu Rava lebnei Mechoza. Rava instructed the residents of Mechoza, be'iru chamira debnei chela mibataychu, destroy the chametz that is designated for the soldiers before Pesach. Because these Anshei Chayil, these soldiers who are in the legions of the Melech, what they would do is they would bring their food over to the Jews and they would say, you know what, we're going out to battle, but we want you to take careful be very precautious about our food so that when we come back, you'll be able to feed us. And we're responsible to do this because of the Malchus. Is came unto Ilu Mignav, Ilu Misavid B'Shusai Chukai U'B'Isu L'Shlume. So in such a case, if the food, let's say the bread, the loaves of bread in the possession of the Yisrael, which really belong to the Goyim, to the B'nei Achayil, if it gets lost, or if it gets stolen, then we'll have to replace it. We have to go back to the local bakery and buy bread. Is therefore kidilchun dami v'yoser. It's considered like it's yours. Now this is based on a principle in the Gemara Bava Kama, Dafayin Dalet Amud Beis, which is called davar gorim lemomen kemomen dami. That's something that's not technically yours. But if it's lost, you'll have to replace it. You'll have to dig into your pocket and pay and buy a replacement. That's considered that it's yours. So the Gemara says, Han nichal aman diomer, according to that opinion in Masechta Bava Kama, that dovra goyim lemomen kemomen dami, that if you have something that you took a chrayis on and you're responsible, such that if it's lost or stolen, you have to replace it, is considered yours. So now I understand very well that pikdonos shel nachri is included under bal yiro by yimotzei in a case where the guy demanded that you take a chrayis for the chametz and you're responsible if it's lost or stolen to replace it. El amantiyomet is another amantiyomet who says dovra goyim lemomen lav kemomen dami. It's not considered yours because technically it's not yours. Is Michael and Mamer, how are you going to justify this Isser in a case of Pikdonos Shel Nochri? And we said before that if you didn't accept a Chrayis, everybody agrees that it's okay, it's permissible to have the Chometz of a Goy in your possession. Is Shiny Hocha, the Omar Lo Yimotze, that even though in general I hold that a Chrayis is not called Mamon, meaning Dovra Gorm LeMamon is not Mamon, it's not yours, but here the Torah added the word Lo Yimotze as a Ribui, to tell you that even though it's not yours. In this context of chametz, it is yours. It's a new definition of bailus vis-a-vis chametz that generates an isur b'yiro b'yimotzi. Ika d'amri, the Gemara has a different tradition of what the question, the answer was. Ha'nicha. If I hold that it's not your mammon, it's not yours. Here we turn to the Vav of an Aleph. Is Hainu Ditzrich? Now I could justify why I need the special ribuy of Lo Yimotze to teach me that even though according to general laws that apply in Halacha, you would not be considered possessing the chametz because Dovra Garm Lamamon Lav Kemamon Dami. But here we need the Pasuk Lo Yimotze to teach me that once the Jew accepts upon himself a Christ for the chametz, he violates this Isur. And that's based on the fact that although Dovra Garm Lamamon Lav Kemamon Dami, but here it says Lo Yimotze Elaman Diyamon Kemamon Dami. If I hold that whenever I have a Christ, that if it's lost or stolen, I have to replace it and pay for its replacement. That it's therefore it's mine, is lo yimotze lamali. Why did the drasha of lo yimotze, why is it necessary? Obviously, it's lecha. If it's lecha, I don't need lo yimotze without the word lecha. It's rich. Salke daitcha minaho vichi isei haderbeine labr shusekai. Since the chametz is still alive and well, and therefore, if the Nochri comes to collect his chametz that he deposited in my possession, I now return it to him. So it's not a Gorim L'mamon. When does it become Dovra Gorim L'mamon? That's only after it's lost. At the moment that it was stolen or lost, then it's considered mine. But now that I have the object, in this case the chametz, in my possession, bien, and I can simply return it to him, then the Fiv Achrayis that I have is no longer relevant, and it doesn't generate ownership. Is Kamash Malan, the Pasuk wants to tell me, Lo Yimotze, that nevertheless, since you're Makabal Achrayas, even though it's still Be'en, it's still intact, you violate the Yisr Val Yerobah Yimotze. So, Mitzvah, tomorrow we'll start four lines down from the top on Daf Vav Amud Aleph.